Let's turn now in the Word of God to Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28. And the text for the sermon this afternoon is the last half of verse 20. So right there at the end, Matthew 28. Let's read that chapter together. Hear the word of God. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. They departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go, tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night, and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money, and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So far we read, and the text again is the second half of verse 20, which reads this way, And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew 28, verse 16, which we just finished reading, we read there, Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. What we read here, these words, and also our text, takes place at a mountain somewhere, although We don't know exactly which mountain that was, nor is it very important. We also don't know when exactly these words in the context and also our text were spoken. We do have a general framework to work with. Sometime between Jesus' resurrection from the dead and his ascension into heaven, these words were spoken somewhere in there. It may very well have been that Jesus speaks these words of our text shortly before he ascends into heaven. But again, we can't be sure. We do know that at this mountain, the 11 disciples were there. And it may very well be that the event here, the setting, is the same thing as is referred to in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6, where we read, "And after that, he," that is Jesus, "was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." So it could be at this event that in addition to the disciples that we know were there, there were a multitude of other people as well. Maybe you recognized in that last group of verses before our text that they are what we call the Great Commission. That's what Jesus gives here. The Great Commission, we'll come to that briefly later. And now, after he's finished giving that Great Commission, he gives this promise. "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." And that's our text. I want to preach for you today a sermon of comfort. There's a lot going on, isn't there? Church has been, in the past months, rocked. No exaggeration to say that there are troubles all around. And I don't even hardly even need to tell you that the church and the preaching of the gospel and the work that's done is vehemently opposed. And you might ask, at such a time as this, is Jesus really with us? Is he on the throne anymore? Then Jesus comes to us tonight and breaks through all of our fears and our anxieties and says, "Church, I am with you. Lo, I am with you, even to the end of the world." So let's soak in this text for a few minutes as comfort for our souls. "Lo, I am with you alway." That's our text. That's our theme, rather. In the first place, the meaning of this promise. Secondly, the need for this promise. And then finally, the certainty of this promise. We can get to understand the promise that Jesus makes here, "Lo, I am with you even until the end of the world." We can come to understand that by asking and answering three questions. And the first question that we ask and that we answer in order to understand what Jesus says here is this: who is with whom? Who is the one making the promise and who says, "I"? And who is that one with? "I am with you." Who are they? Well, the who, the I, the one who speaks this promise is, of course, Jesus Christ. Very God, very man, Savior, born for our salvation, who suffered under the outpoured wrath of God all through his days, and did that in a concentrated way when he came through the cross, where he laid down himself as the sacrifice for sin, suffering Savior, born for our salvation, and whose dead body was placed in the sepulcher, but did not remain there, but arose from the dead, tore those bars of death, and who ascended into heaven. That crucified, risen, ascended Savior is the one who makes this promise. But what I really want to emphasize about the promise maker is what we read in the context. Verse 18. Jesus is the one saying these words, and he says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." This is especially what we want to notice about him. That word power could be translated authority. All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, gave to the man, Christ Jesus, that is, gave to him according to his human nature, authority, gave to him the right to rule over everything. And of course, along with the right to rule is the actual power to exercise that rule, which Christ had and has as well. You could think of his ascension into heaven as his being placed at the right hand of God, the throne. So now he's there, King of kings, Lord of lords, sovereign over all, and he says there is not even a square inch of this universe over which I do not have authority. Who makes this promise? Especially that. Jesus Christ, who rules over all. And he wants to stress that. He wants to really show to us and emphasize to us that he's the one who's speaking here and who makes this promise. Literally, the text could read this way, "Lo, I myself am with you always, even to the end of the world." I, no one less than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, am with you. Well, that's the who. With whom? Well, the ones, the you in the text, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world," is, of course, the 11 disciples. We read of them in the context, verse 16, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them." And then when Jesus goes on at that mountain to give the great commission, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," and so on, he's talking to the 11 disciples. And then when he gets to the following promise, which makes up our text, and he says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world," he's talking to his 11 disciples. That's the one to whom the promise is made. But maybe you get a sense already that it has to be more than just those 11 men, because Jesus, after all, says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Those 11 men, after how many years, all of them died, and Jesus says, "I'm going to be with you even to the end of the world," so it applies to the disciples, but it can't only be then. There has to be a broader group than that. And that leads us to say, not only the 11, but it is to his church that he makes this promise. That's the you. Church that he has all the time on this earth, even to the end of the world. And the connection between those two is that the disciples or the apostles were the representatives of the New Testament church. And so when Jesus speaks to these men and gives them this promise, he gives that to the church which they represent. And that, beloved, makes it very personal tonight, doesn't it? His promise is to you. Who is with whom? Jesus is with his 11 disciples. and more broadly, the church. The second question that we ask and answer in order to understand our text, this promise, is what does it mean that Jesus is with his church? That's the meat and potatoes of the text. You recognize, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. What does that mean, he's with his church? He's present with her. He lives with her, dwells with his church, abides with his church. He has fellowship with her, bubbling all over out of that little word with is the whole theology of the covenant. That, remember catechism students, one word that can be summarized to describe what the covenant is, friendship, bond of relationship of friendship with his people. Christ is with them, meaning he has fellowship with them. That he's with is to say that he's present in his love. Well, that's no surprise, because this is the Savior himself who didn't turn to the right or to the left, but kept a straight on course all through his days and also his ministry until finally he reached that accursed tree. And he did that in love for his people. And it was a sacrifice for our sins that he willingly laid down in love. So it's no surprise that now he promises to us, I am present in my love with you. That love of Jesus Christ which cheers and encourages us, and he refreshes us with the knowledge that he gave himself for our sins. That he's with us means also that he's present in his power. And there I want to call your attention again to verse 18, where Jesus says to them and to us, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now remember that. He's on the throne. He rules over the deepest sea creatures lurking in the oceans. He rules over Mount Everest, over every flake of snow that falls, and over the temperature. Absolutely everything in the universe he's sovereign over, has the right to rule, and he exercises that rule. But now this. This is amazing. He uses all that authority and power for the church. Think about that. He's on the throne. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the one who holds the very stars in his hand and rules over all the course of history, and he rules for his church, for her advantage. He's present in his power, gathering, defending, preserving his church. And Jesus will so press this upon us that he's with us, that he begins by saying, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. That word lo is almost like an exclamation mark. It's almost like this. Sit up straight in the pew. Listen very carefully. Stand to attention, because something very important is about to be said. Lo, I am with you. And so much will he impress this upon us and make us to remember it, that recall. These are some of the last words that Jesus will speak before he ascends into heaven. If you have someone, a loved one who is leaving for a while, and you're at the airport with this person, and they have to go, they're getting called, some of the last things that they tell you are the things that are going to ring in your ears and you're going to remember in your heart for a long time. These are some of the last things that Jesus will tell his disciples and his church while he's yet on earth before he leaves to go into heaven. And as such, they ring in the ears of his disciples and they live on in their hearts and in our hearts too. He wants us to know, I'm with you, and he will have us remember that. The fact that Jesus is present with his church and love and in power, has fellowship with her, of course, needs a basis. You see, it may not simply be that Jesus dwells with us. If you just put a period after that, that may not be. There has to be a foundation, and the basis or the foundation for the Lord Jesus Christ to be with his church is his own blood. That he did give himself for us, and that he cried out, it is finished. That work of atonement, nothing has to be done more. It's all finished. His cross, his blood, is the basis for his being with us. But here's a question. That he's with us is not a question. And we even understand that he's present with us. But exactly in what manner is that true? You understand why I asked the question. The reason is, remember the historical context, Jesus is about to ascend into heaven. According to his human nature, that is, in his body and in his soul, he would leave this place on earth, and he would go to that place in heaven so that he's there and he's no longer on earth in body and soul. And so if that's true, that he's going to heaven according to his human nature and won't be on earth, how can he then say to his disciples and to us, lo, I am with you even to the end of the world? That's such an important question that you can turn to Lord's Day 18 when you get home. And you'll see that it also asks a question similar to that. And the answer is, how can he be with us though he has ascended into heaven? He's not present with us according to his human nature. That's in heaven. But he's with us by his Spirit. And sometimes we call that then a Spirit Shul presence. He's with us by his Spirit. Lord's Day 20. Go back to the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 20 gives a good summary of who that Holy Spirit is and what his work is. He is true and co-eternal God with the Father and the Son. Secondly, that he has also given me to make me, by a true faith, partaker of Christ and all his benefits, that he may comfort me and abide with me forever. That Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, is the one whom Christ poured out on that day of Pentecost upon his church like a gushing waterfall, so that the Spirit lives in and lives with, abides with the church. That's what it means that Christ is with us by his Spirit. And really, you can understand the day of Pentecost this way. Jesus, yes, before that ascended into heaven, but then on that day, he returned to his church by the Spirit. And then, that's very enlightening when we read verses like these. John 14, verses 16 to 18. Jesus is talking, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. And the original there is, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. That's what we have here. I won't leave you orphans. I'll be with you by my Spirit. Who is with whom? Jesus with his church. What does it mean that he's with her? We just heard that. And then the third question to ask and answer in order to understand our text, this promise that Jesus makes, is when is Jesus with his church? You notice how the text reads. It says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." That word always could be translated all the days. And then the word end could be translated completion. And then the word world could be translated as age. So when you put all those together, the text would read like this. Lo, I am with you all the days, even to the completion of the age. Those days that Jesus refers to there, lo, I am with you all the days, refer to all the days of the New Testament from the time Jesus ascended into heaven all the way until the day that he comes back. Those are all the days. And that age Jesus talks about, lo, I am with you all the days, even to the completion of the age, that age is just the same thing as those days. New Testament, from the time he ascends to the time he comes back. That's the age. Now, there will be, according to Jesus, a completion of those days or of that age. Lo, I am with you always, even to the completion of the age. What is that? It's this. That he who's on the throne in heaven and sovereign over everything will so work that he brings all those New Testament days, that entire age, and everything that's found in it, he will bring that all to the last day when he comes back. That will be the goal, the climax of everything, the completion. He's working right now, and he's driving everything like a mighty stream so that it rushes to that climax. There's the completion. Now what Jesus says is, all those days, I'll be with you, even until I come back. Never leave you nor forsake you. In the days of the apostles, AD 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. In the days of the early church fathers, AD 300, 400, 500. In the Middle Ages, where it will be so dark that hardly even see the hand in front of your faith, so to speak, I'll be with you. The days of the Reformation, John Calvin, Martin Luther, I'll be with you, church. The days of your grandparents and your parents, the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, in those days too, I will be with you. And this very day today, Sunday, month of November, 2022, I'll be with you. It's as real today, people of God, when Jesus promises us that, as it was when he spoke to his disciples some 2,000 years ago. And here's something wonderful. If he's been with us in the past, and if he's with his church today, we can have every confidence that he will be with her all the days to come too. I don't know what's going to happen with me and my family. And you don't know what's going to happen as to the exact circumstances of your life either. We've seen some things last month and years that probably the older generation would say, we never thought that we would see them in our lifetime, but here they are. And even though we don't know the particulars of the future, we know that He's with us in that future. All the days, always. Jesus gave to His disciples, and He gives to His church today, this promise because they needed it. And so do we. They needed it because Jesus was about to ascend. He was going to go into heaven. And so the question that they would ask is, well, will He yet be with us? Try to put yourself in the shoes of the disciples for a moment. I think we're used to this history, and we hardly give it a second thought. Sure, Jesus ascended into heaven, and His disciples are still on earth. But try to put yourself in their shoes. They have been, for some 3 years, walking with Jesus, talking with Him, following Him very closely as He goes around preaching and teaching, just absorbing everything from Him. And now, according to His human nature, body and soul, He's not going to be here with them. He's just not going to be standing there, and they're not going to follow Him physically like they had before, but He'll be gone in heaven, away from them in that sense. And that's where the question would arise in the minds of the disciples. Is He now then abandoning us? Is He leaving us? Is this it? And therefore they have need for Jesus to say, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. That was for their comfort. Don't we need that too? I realize it's not maybe exactly the same as it was for the disciples, but we need this promise of Jesus in light of the fact He has ascended into heaven. We don't see Him with these earthly eyes. Sometimes we have doubts and weakness of faith, and in our weakness we ask sometimes, is Jesus really with His church? And could He possibly be on the throne if, now you fill in the blank, could He possibly be on the throne if this thing is happening? And that's why we need to hear too, though you don't see me with your earthly eyes, I'm very much alive, and I'm with you from my throne through all the days. But there's something more here as far as the need of the disciples and us to have this promise of Jesus. There's something more, and it's this. It's not merely the fact, the historical context, that Jesus is going to be ascending into heaven, but it's also this. They have lots of work to do. And they're going to receive all sorts of opposition to that work. And now it's especially in light of that that the question would arise, since He's ascending, is He still going to be with us in the midst of all of that? I make a point of this because you'll notice the context, the verses that come before our text. I briefly mentioned in the introduction that these are called the Great Commission. We read in verse 19 that Jesus says to them, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Great Commission. If you have your Bible open, you can turn to the book of Mark. Way at the end, because there's a parallel account there. Mark chapter 16. starting at verse 15. Jesus says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." My point here is not to get into all the details of the Great Commission, but just to say, they have lots of work to do. And it's going to be very difficult work too. If you have some time, go home after the worship service and read selected portions out of the book of Acts, and you will then see the disciples, apostles, actively going forth, doing this work of the Great Commission, preaching and teaching and baptizing. Lots of work going from this place to another place. Not easy. But they're also going to receive opposition to it. There's the book of Acts again. You children know what's going to happen to the apostles? Stonings, threatenings, hatred pouring out of the mouth of men because they hate that gospel that's preached in their town so much. They're going to be thrown into dark, dank dungeons. Some will even be slain. Much opposition. Satan roaring all the way back then, and the world and the forces of unbelief teaming up, hating this preaching and teaching that goes forth. And so the question arises here too for the disciples. Now that he's ascending, will he leave us alone to go forth in this difficult labor? Is he abandoning us? Is this it? They have need for the promise. And Jesus says, "Though I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Exactly the fact that Jesus is with his church. And precisely the fact that he does have all authority and power, and he's on his throne, and he's not going to leave that throne, is the confidence that will fill the sails of the apostles so that with courage and without any fear, they can go forth in their work. In fact, that Christ so exercises that authority at God's right hand that the completion of the age will be brought forth for the good of his church will give them courage now and alleviate all their fears. And then I say to us, like the disciples in that respect too, we also need to hear this promise from Jesus. That whole matter of the Great Commission has not changed. The Lord gave that 2,000 years ago. This is a command that endures to the end of the age. And also for the church in 2022, this applies. Go forth, preach, teach, disciple, baptize. And we all know, ministers, elders, office bearers, we and the members of the congregation know, it's lots of work. It's hard work. And if Satan was going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour in AD 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, today, going after ministers, today, attacking the gospel, Satan hates it so much when this preaching and teaching goes forth. And the world around us opposes it, and the forces of unbelief rise up against it. Jesus talks about the end of the age here. We are in the last hour of history. And sometimes I wonder, probably people have been asking this for generations, but I wonder, at how fast things are developing if the Antichrist could arise even when some of us are alive. Who knows? But the days are evil. They're so lawless. And it's very dark. When the work is hard, when it's heavy, and when, as it seems, especially nowadays, the enemies are just attacking relentlessly, sometimes we wonder, where is Jesus? In our doubts and fears, he says to us tonight, you don't think I've left you, do you? I'm with you. You don't think that I've abdicated my throne, do you? I certainly have not. And I still, just like I did when I spoke these words then, I still have authority over all. And you can have that confidence going forward. The gospel shall triumph. Do you live in the last days, when Antichrist perhaps even may arise, and when things are very dark? Then too, I am with you. I'm using all that power yet, church, to bring things to that great goal for your good. And if that wasn't enough, the cherry on the top of the whole thing is the fact that this is a promise Jesus makes. Did you notice that that's the very form of the text that we have here? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. A promise that certainly will come to pass. Sometimes dads and moms say to children, I promise you we'll go for ice cream this weekend. I promise you we're going to go traveling on vacation next summer to this and that place. But sometimes dads and moms, although they promise something, it never comes to pass because we're humans, we change. When Jesus Christ makes a promise, he keeps it, and it is certain, and he will never go back on his word. And isn't this wonderful, beloved? He knows our weakness of faith. He knows how many doubts we can be filled with. And in his great goodness and love, he gives this promise. And it was certainly fulfilled for those apostles back then. And then I say again, read the book of Acts. Yes, imprisoned, stoned, death threats, and all the persecution. But Christ was with them in it all. And even as they did go preaching and teaching and baptizing, Christ was always with them in that, and the gospel triumphed. Don't doubt that also today his promise is true. He's not going to all of a sudden in this late hour say, I walk back on my promise now. I'm going to stop being with my church. Absolutely not. It's certain. And then, at the very end of our text, and at the end of the whole book of Matthew, there is a little word. That word means, it shall truly and certainly be. And that little word is, Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful then for this Jesus Christ who has promised to be present with in love and in power, fellowship, his church. They will never leave her nor forsake her. Lord, we know that we live in tribulation, many troubles that rock that church. And so we thank thee for this assurance from our Lord. We pray that thou wilt apply that personally to our hearts and souls tonight. Father, give to us that confidence that we need to encourage to go forth in the midst of this wicked world, living faithfully as a church. Bless us. Forgive, Lord, all of our sins and keep us in thy care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.